Welcome to Season 2 of the Excel Podcast. Join your host, Kevin Selwood, as he talks to a variety of people with useful and interesting things to say about all things to do with instructing and driver training. Throughout the series, there will be a mixture of local personalities from the driver training industry in the Exeter and Torbay areas, as well as nationally acclaimed trainers. Episodes include informative discussions regarding all aspects of running your business, as well as opportunities to find out a bit more about each interviewee. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to this latest edition of the Excel podcast, and thank you for taking the time to listen in. This particular episode, I'm taking a sort of a turn off the main track where I've been looking recently at things that can help people with their standards check and part three test. I'm just sort of taking an inward look today with two of my past learners and just talking to them about their experience while learning to drive, and also if there was anything that could and perhaps should have been done differently. First person I'm speaking to is Georgia. She basically parachuted herself into Devon from her home in Kent and came to work at a local hotel and restaurant. Then about a week after she passed her test, she gave up the job, went to the Isle of Wight to do a two-week sailing course, and has actually ended up since then seeing some of the sights around the world on various yachts, but she'll tell you a bit more about that. The second person is Abby. Now, from where I'm sitting at the moment in my conservatory, I can actually see the roof of Abby's house. And if I could drive there in a straight line, it would take me probably about 10 seconds. Now, Abby is a local person. She originates from Wellington in Somerset and has actually lived in Fenneton for some time and works in Honiton. Abby's story is very different to Georgia's. Abby came as a very nervous learner some 10 years after first learning to drive, and she will tell you about the reasons why it's taken her so long to get where she is now. But by the end of her story, you will hear how she has developed and becoming so much more confident as a driver, resulting in quite a long journey that she's done recently all by herself. So I hope you enjoy listening to two rather different accounts of learning to drive, and hopefully that they can relate, or you can relate to what they're saying with some of your learners.
Hello.
Now, hello. This time I've got Georgia I'm speaking to. So, hi, Georgia, and thanks for giving up your time to do this.
No worries. Hello.
Georgia has just arrived back from getting over her jet lag from the one-hour flight from Pisa Airport. We're going to go into this in a bit more detail as to why she's come from there, because I'm quite fascinated about what she's done since she's passed her driving test. Georgia, you are fairly unique, as I said to you in a little chat beforehand, in your situation as to how you came to do your driving lessons with me.
Yes.
So maybe, first of all, it would be worth just going through what you'd done and where you were before you actually got in touch with me.
Yes, of course. So back in 2019, I turned 17 and wanted to get to learning to drive like every other 17-year-old. So I'm from the southeast in the county of Kent, and I actually got the same driving instructor my older brother had. And he's a really lovely guy, very calm, and he had very good reviews other than what my brother had told me. So off I went to learn with him. I'm not sure to the date how long I was learning with him before I moved to Devon, but I'm going to say around, I want to say about 8 months. I'm quite slow at getting to learn a new skill, but once I have it, I've got it for life kind of thing. Whereas some people pick up something very quickly. My brother passed with him very quickly. I think 6 months, and he was on the roads on his own and everything. Whereas I'm a bit more slow and everything. So about 8 or 9 months with him. And then I actually moved away from home for a job, which was in Devon. I'd never really been to Devon at all, so I didn't know any of the roads. And I wanted to carry on with driving. Was still a few months away from getting to the test and everything. But yeah, I definitely needed more confidence, and I needed to get to know the roads in Devon. And yeah, I mean, I Googled lots of different driving instructors in the area, but you had the best reviews, to be honest. And yeah, from there, off
Very
we went.
Very kind of you to say so. And at this point, I haven't paid Georgia to say that.
No, he hasn't. But no, you came up with the best reviews, and it kept popping up, your driving instructor company and everything. And
yeah.
So gave it a whirl, and we got on very well from the get-go. So yeah, that's it, really.
Yeah. So you actually passed your test in April... Two years ago, wasn't it?
Just about April, just about 2 years ago.
Yeah, because you were affected by COVID, and a couple of lockdowns. I think
definitely
the short one before Christmas in 2020, and then we had about 3 months from Christmas when Boris decided that Christmas was being cancelled.
Yes, exactly.
And we had 3 months, and we were able to start again in March. Mm-hmm. And driving tests started again, well, whenever the date was, you actually took your test the second day.
After it was released.
Yes, because I had somebody pass on the first day when they started again, and then you passed the next day as well.
Yes.
So we actually started, was it round about September, October 2020?
Yeah, definitely, because I moved down just after my birthday, which is in August, so... September time,
right. Yeah.
End of September, probably, yeah.
And you were working and living at the Pig.
Yes, the Pig.
In Gittisham, which some people will know. It's not exactly the social hub of the universe, is it, out there?
Yeah. That's where I was, in the staff accommodation.
Yeah, so we didn't do a massive number of sessions together, did we?
No, not particularly. A lot of what we were doing was actually getting to know where I was, but you definitely made me more confident with big and fast roads, because all of our lessons required us to go, I'm going to say the wrong thing. Was it an A road or motorway? The road that gets you past into Exeter. If you know where I mean.
Yeah, the A30, a dual carriage into Exeter. Yeah, that's...
Whereas I would normally not go on them previously as much back in Kent with my instructor. But every lesson we had together, we were going on it, and the confidence for me to go on faster roads, which I actually found quite petrifying, to be honest.
It
got a lot better because we were going on them all the time, and you were very... relaxed and would just let me do my thing, and it was good in that aspect.
Good, thank you for that. And we did have even more, I wouldn't say scary, but possibly stressful roads, the dual carriageways out the other side of Exeter as well, which were the roads that you potentially were going on your driving test. I have no idea where you went, and you probably can't remember where you went.
I know where I was in my head, like I can picture it, but I couldn't tell you where I was now. I can't remember the road names.
No, but you had some dual carriageway on your driving test?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Dual carriageway and a big roundabout, and there was, a lot of that. And
Right, so well, it doesn't matter where you went anyway, but this fact that we I'll come back to this, that we got on pretty well together, so was that, were you quite happy with that from the start?
Yeah, definitely.
Did that take a little bit of time for you to work out, this is going to work for me?
No, I mean, I think I'm a good judge of character, and from the get-go, I thought, well, Kevin's fine. Like, we can talk about what I need more help with and general getting to know each other as well and about driving and everything, and you made me feel very relaxed and confident that you had confidence in me being able to drive and just teaching me and getting to know the roads. Whereas, I mean, my other instructor was probably a little bit more cautious, but then I was fresh and brand new when I started with him, so maybe that's why.
My recollection of 2 years ago is probably better than my recollection of what happened yesterday. The way things, but I don't recall me ever being sort of anxious or worried about your ability to cope with that. And let's face it, probably when we left your accommodation, the first minute or two probably was harder to deal with than much of the rest of the drive on those
Exactly.
lessons.
The lanes coming out of where I used to live were tiny, and the buses that used to come up the tracks, it was not a good one to meet on the way.
So no, not normally we came out from the rear entrance of where you live. We didn't normally go down the main road,
No.
but we usually came back that way, didn't we? I
Yeah,
think,
back that way.
but went out the, and then that was quite a tricky emerge uphill and to the right,
It
and
was.
we just needed to meet a tractor that wouldn't be going too slow along there, and it could have been quite fun.
Exactly.
But my memory of your lessons, is that you were a pretty competent driver
Yeah.
already.
But I'd done quite a bit beforehand, but then obviously there was the breaks within COVID and the lockdowns. Yeah.
Did you do a driving test in Kent or
I did
not?
not,
No.
no. We
Oh,
were
so you.
thinking about booking it, and then COVID came along, and I mean, I don't think I had another lesson with him for about 4 months. We had a break, I want to say. So
Oh, it
really
probably
long
was,
time. Yeah.
Oh, good, you're one of my first time passes then.
Exactly.
Do you remember much about the test at all and how you felt with it?
Oh, I was definitely very nervous. I remember that. But I'd done a lot of preparation with you, and I'd done a lot of flashcards for myself, but that's
All right,
how I
yeah.
had to deal with it. It was more that was for the questions that they ask you, and
Right.
the when they do, I can't remember the actual
The show me,
name of
tell me
all of this.
questions.
Yes, the show me, tell me questions and the maneuver, and actually writing it all down, like my step by steps on the flashcards. And then
All
as he
right.
was saying what to do, I would go through it in my head. And yeah, but luckily he didn't ask me to parallel park. He just asked me to reverse three car spaces, and everything was fine.
Oh, you got the pull up on the right hand side and reverse
Yes,
back.
I did. Yeah, thank God.
Yes, I think most people are quite hoped for that one. I have had one
Yeah.
or two people struggle with that because usually because there's been an oncoming vehicle
Yes.
and
Yeah.
just trying to work, excuse me, just trying to work out, should I be going across at this point or not? I know
Yeah.
somebody unfortunately made the wrong decision and went at
Oh
the wrong
no.
time. But hey ho, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Everything worked out pretty well for you,
It
didn't
did,
it?
yeah. And then we came back, and that was it. I'd passed. I was very happy.
And then about a week later,
Yeah.
you cleared off.
Yeah, you probably, I can't remember. I think I texted you, well, that's it. I'm leaving, and that was it, really.
Now, this is the next thing that I want
Yeah.
to move on to, because you went off to the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, I went off to the Isle of Wight. So I'd already thought for a while we were doing our lessons that I wanted to leave the pig. Not that it was a bad company or anything, I just always wanted to do what I am doing now.
Yes, it was never likely to be a job for life, was it? The pig?
No. No, no. So, no, so off I went to the Isle of Wight to do my STCW courses, which is to be able to work on board boats and yachts. And basically, that's what I do now, stewardessing on yachts.
Right. So the actual course involved what sort of things you had to do?
It's a safety, fire and first aid course, and safety at sea, basically. So
yeah.
it's about 2 weeks or 2 weeks, depending on which you do, extensive courses on.
You did 2 weeks, didn't you?
I did do 2 weeks. I took the longer course and can now drive a powerboat. So I've got my powerboat level 2.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's firefighting, literal firefighting, survival at sea and first aid and everything safety to do with yachts and boats in general, really.
And following you on Instagram,
yeah,
this has taken you to some places that possibly you never dreamt years ago that you'd ever go to.
Exactly, yeah. I've been all over, really.
Yeah.
Probably the favourite of them all is the Exumas in the Caribbean, which not many people could say, I don't think. And saw the swimming pigs and, yeah, it was amazing, really. Yeah. Not to rub it in or anything, well, but it was really lovely.
Yeah, fortunately I can match you for places I've been to as well over the years. But, yeah, there were some people who've gone. For somebody, are you 21 now?
Turning 21 in August, so...
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. For your age, the places you've been to and the things you've been able to achieve is quite something, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been around the world nearly. Yeah.
And so what sort of vessel are you on? Because there was a picture of you on Instagram the other day, your leaving thing of about 8 or 9 of you crashed out in the sunshine.
Yeah, we were crashed out in the sunshine. That was on the yachts and the beach club, after the boat actually folds out onto the sea and you can lay on it. I mean, the guests would, but currently the boat's in the shipyard period. So we were allowed at that time, but currently on a 90 meter vessel. I can't tell you the name exactly, but she's big and she's beautiful and is based in Monaco and goes around all of Europe, basically.
Making it such a hard life.
Yeah.
But a 90 metre, a yacht, it's not really, it's not the sort of yacht that you get on the boating pond, is it?
No.
There's not 9 of you on board?
Oh, no, it's much more than 9.
Well, oh, crikey.
Yeah, no, I was on previously, so I was on, my first boat was a 50 metre, there was 12 of us. That was last year and the year before. Right. And just recently I've joined this boat. I've been on there coming up to 3 months now, so still quite new. But there's actually 50 crew in total. But
oh, crikey.
Yes. But at any one time, there's 30 of us, and then there's 20 at home. So we all rotate with each other, which is, it's really nice, yeah.
And this is, you're employed by a company or an owner, are you?
Yes, the owner, yes, he employs us and everything, and yeah, there's a management company, but yeah, that's basically it, really.
And you're obviously thoroughly enjoying it.
I am thoroughly enjoying it. It's very work hard, play hard. It's definitely not for everyone, but it's, I mean, I love it, so
great.
Traveling the world and yeah.
So, how much driving do you actually do?
Oh, the powerboat level 2 are you referring to?
No, I'm talking about car driving at the moment.
Car driving, sorry.
Probably not a lot.
Well, no, I haven't actually driven a lot since I passed. I think, and you're going to probably sound very shocked, is... First time I drove in a car since passing with you was last September.
Right. Okay.
So,
18 months for 16 months later.
yeah,
Yeah.
that's quite a big gap.
Yeah, it is. How did that go?
It was all right, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't drive on my own until this January for the first time.
Right.
And now
Yeah.
that's a big gap. But
Yeah.
then I didn't want to get all nervous and be in a situation where I didn't know how to get out of it. So,
Yeah.
yeah, but I've been driving in Italy on my own.
Well, I was going to, that was what I was come to next. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes,
So
the
that's a bit different, isn't it, when you
it
suddenly
is,
don't,
especially with driving with Italians.
yeah.
But the car's automatic, so it's a
Yeah.
lot easier. But
Sure. Yeah.
at home, I drive in the manual. I drive my brother's car, and yeah, still getting to grips with the manual sometimes. It does stress me out.
Yeah, forgetting to put the clutch down when you change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I from what I recall of you, yeah,
Yeah.
I never ever doubted you were going to be anything other than a really good driver. You know, if
Yeah,
you just exuded sort of, I don't know whether the confidence that you had at the time or not, but
yeah.
I just said, she's going to be fine. There can be
Thank
no problems with you at all. Yeah, so well done with it all.
you. Thank you very much.
Just one question I want to ask
Yeah.
about the fact that asking people for help with things,
Yeah.
like with this, and when sort of awards come around,
Yes.
it's something that I listened to on another podcast, and I've because you were the, I think I contacted about eight of you,
Yeah.
and you were the only one who responded.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I have since sort of, well, I wouldn't say bullied, but arm twisted one of the others,
Yeah.
and then another one, Abby, who's sort of 28, 29 now, I actually
Yeah.
bumped into in petrol station at Tesco's at the weekend, and she just said to me, "Oh, I've been meaning to get back to you about this, but it's been manic this term," because she's a teaching assistant at one of the primary
Yeah.
schools. So it just went through my mind about the fact that would, if I'd had to contact you more than once, would you
Yeah.
have been offended by it?
No.
Because another person has said that, I know she's a social media manager on another podcast, and said
Yeah.
that I live on my phone and I
Yeah.
get, goodness knows how many messages a day, and one message is going to get lost. So I'm wondering if that's why some of the others didn't. So they might have just decided, "Oh no, don't want to do that." But no,
Yeah.
it just get to the point where when we have asked people to help us vote for awards and things, we probably just sent them one thing. So you may be a little bit different and very polite and very helpful and be somebody who would respond anyway. But to you, if I was to, not that I'm going to now, was to
No.
send you multiple messages, is that something that you would worry about or think, "Oh God, I can't be bothered with him anymore. He keeps bothering me about it."
No, I think one or two messages for sure. Or I mean, I think you probably did in my email, but I did say yes, and I'm doing it now. But
Yeah.
to say, if you don't want to do it, please just respond that you don't want to, or can you help me in a different way?
That's a
If they're
good
too
point.
nervous to do a podcast, they
Yeah.
could,
Yeah.
I don't know, at least do the when you go up for competitions and to vote for you and put the time into writing why they're voting for you, because that's silent, then the person doesn't
Yeah.
have to be seen or heard. Maybe they're just shy.
Yeah, that's a good point you make there. I hadn't thought about it from that point of view. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and there is, I'm looking at the notes that I sent to you about. There is one other thing that
Yes.
I was going to ask you about,
Yeah.
which don't hold back on this one. But
Okay.
if you were to do your lessons again,
Okay.
is there anything that you feel I could have done differently that might have made it different, better, or anything like that? I want to promise everybody I have not paid you to give me an answer that I want to hear. I want, you know, the answer that you want to give, really.
Yeah. I think, well, I've written down, well, as I said earlier, I actually gave myself flashcards after we did our lessons. I would actually write it all down, because the way I learn is I've got to do it and then write it down. Like,
oh, right.
Understand yeah. that people learn in different ways. Perhaps yeah. when you get a new driver, you ask them to complete a personality quiz or something, how they learn, because people learn differently. I believe yeah. there's like four different ways. There's, you know, listening, visual, yeah. or actually doing something.
Yeah.
And kind of try and, what's the word I'm looking for? Change the way in which you teach, depending yeah, on who you're dealing with. I don't know.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, I set myself homework, or for you to set people homeworks, and that they actually have to show you, and like they have to think about driving right. after they've left the lesson. Because originally when I was learning, I would just do the driving lesson once a week and then go home and not think about it until the next week.
Right.
Whereas when people have to think about it, it's going to be on their mind. And the way I learn is I need to think about it and do a bit of work towards it. I just right. can't do it and then think I'm going to know it. If that makes any sense.
Oh, it makes absolute sense to me. And,
yeah.
You know, you are probably fairly quite a bit different to most people in the way that you learn. And you know, maybe it would have been helpful to me to know this
if I asked
you before and to actually know that you were doing that, because this is actually the first time.
Yeah, didn't know I was doing that.
Oh, I didn't at all. And it might have explained why you just cottoned onto things as quickly as you seem to.
I would watch YouTube videos, like you would say what we were going to do the next week. So I would try and revise a little bit, because I'm very visual. Right. I need to see it before I can do it, kind of thing. So setting people homework, getting to know what their way of learning is. Because everybody's a bit different, I guess. That
Absolutely.
Would be my only advice.
Yes.
I think that would help a lot. That's
really useful. It is something that I have done in the past, because coming from a teaching background myself, we had quite a lot of stuff on the different learning styles, and nobody has one, it's fixed on one complete. Everybody is a mixture of all of them, but you know, some are more dominant than others in the way you learn. That really is very useful. I'm really going to take that on board, so thank you for that.
That's all right. No worries.
Yeah, that's really a really good place to finish on, because it's the last thing that we're trying to talk about, and it's going to stick in my mind as well for me to go away and think.
Yeah.
Let's talk to everybody tomorrow. And find out, you know, which is the best way you learn.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. For sure.
Right, well, Georgia, I'm so grateful for you doing this and spending the time with it.
Of course.
And, you know, I think there's a lot in there that other people will be quite interested in. So
it's been a pleasure.
When are you off on your next
adventure? I'm back on the boat actually on Friday. This is just a fleeting visit back home.
All right. Oh, well, thank you for wasting your minute of that time with me and not with the family.
That's all right.
And you're back around the Mediterranean, are you?
Yeah, back to Monaco, really, on Friday.
I think on that point, we'll just say, thanks very much, and go and enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks ever so much, Georgia. Okay, so that's George's story, and now we're going to move on to hear from Abby. Right, now for this second session, I have with me Abby. So, hi, Abby.
Hello.
Now, Abby is a slightly different prospect, or was, from Georgia, who I talked to first, whereas Georgia sort of parachuted herself into Devon from Kent for a few months and then disappeared again and is now swanning around the Mediterranean on a 90-metre yacht working there. Abby is still in Devon. In fact, I can see the roof of her house from my house, so it's not exactly a long way for me to have to travel. But lessons were quite exciting because most of them started from work in Honiton, and we'll come back to that in a minute about how wonderful it was trying to get out of the road where Abby was working. And so, first of all, Abby, if you can just give us a little bit of a history of why you decided to learn to drive when you did, because you are a little bit different to the majority of learners that I get, because you didn't come to me at 17 or 18.
No, about 10 years late, in fact. So I was very late to the party when it came to driving. And what was I was 27 when I started with you, I think. After having tried twice before, once when I was 17, because I had a very determined dad that said I should get in the car and do it straight away. Once again at 21, both times only lasted a few lessons before I realised I couldn't do it. When I was much younger, when I was 10, I was in a car accident, quite a nasty one. And that's what put me off. And then back to October 2021, was it, when I first called you? And we, I was 27, late to the party, but actually ready to go. And it took me almost exactly a year to do it, but I passed last October.
Yeah.
And here we are.
So what was it that made you that much more determined third time that you were going to do it and stick with it?
Realistically, I think I was just more ready than I ever had been before. I knew that it was something that I had to do before, but I had never been ready. I did go through some cognitive behavioural therapy before I started with you. And then luckily I actually managed to sit in a lay-by with you and move a car for the first time in ever. And it all went from there. I think genuinely I was just ready. Being comfortable with the person in the car definitely helped. I don't, like before, I've always felt uncomfortable even sitting in a driver's seat. But it just actually started happening for a whole host of reasons. Being where we are in the middle of nowhere definitely is a drive, quite literally, to everywhere. And we took it very slow, and that was very, very helpful.
Yeah, I say that those first few lessons were
very slow.
small steps, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want this to sound wrong, but I think there was a lot of deep breathing rather than heavy breathing. I think it's probably the best way to put it. It was very much.
Definitely.
You know, I could tell that you were pretty tense.
White knuckles.
Those first, yeah.
Yeah. I definitely used to leave the car. Sorry, my cat's come to join us.
Oh, good.
I definitely used to leave our lessons feeling happy with the progress that I'd made, but with tingly hands from gripping so tight. And I mean, it was a while until I actually did the full 2 hours of driving, because driving on the big roads was too much for me. But that was what I needed, and that meant that actually then I was able to drive all the way around Exeter.
Yeah.
Which was out of the question in the first, I mean, month or so of lessons. So.
Yeah. And I think probably you had as much of a challenge in when you were driving from work, as much of a challenge in the first 2 minutes.
Yes.
As you probably had in the rest of the 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, it was you gave me an ease on that one as well. It was a couple of lessons before you let me come out of Clapper Lane, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, anybody who's familiar with Honiton and knows Clapper Lane will know instantly how difficult the road is. You know, because as I said to you, when I came to pick you up, I would never turn into that road from Honiton High Street turning left, because you just couldn't see into the road.
And I still never do.
No, it's only wide enough for one car. So every time I came there, I turned right. And that's quite a challenge as well, when you can see in the road that there's people coming and you can't go. And then somebody, an oncoming driver, stops to let you go and they wonder why you're not going.
Get so frustrated at you for not moving.
Yeah,
and there's no way of telling them that you can't.
And I think one of the advantages of that road, obviously, was the fact it was a stop junction at the end of it. So there was no question of us crawling out without stopping, which made it much easier. If only everyone on this recording could actually see the fact you're currently wrestling with your cat.
Determined to get involved.
Yeah, mine is much quieter. She's on the chair underneath the table. Gradually your confidence increased, and obviously you were able to drive on, you know, some roads that are pretty challenging, especially going out the other side of Exeter as well.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I remember the first few lessons we had where we drove on roads where if we saw five cars, it was a busy day. And that was still a massive challenge for me. And then we finished our lessons driving on the, basically on the, well, on the A30, but round in the four lane bit of motorway, which was unimaginable to me beforehand.
And what sort of places are you driving to now? Because your parents live in Wellington.
Yes.
So we had a drive up there. Obviously, I don't think we went up the motorway, did we? Because you were going at the time, if you're going to do it at all, you're going to go with Jonathan.
Yes.
So obviously he couldn't take you on the motorway.
No.
But do you go up to them on the motorway now?
Yeah. So I go to my parents reasonably regularly, and then up to Jonathan's parents in Dulverton.
That's quite a drive as well.
Yeah. And funnily enough, just after I saw you the other day at the garage, I drove all the way up to Cardiff on my own.
Oh, wow. On your own? Oh, wow.
That's the biggest lone drive I've done since. And it was big and it was scary, but everything went absolutely fine.
Brilliant.
No mishaps, even in the rain. Yeah. It was, I mean, I think even Jonathan thought that I would never do something like that, let alone in the first year of me having passed my test. But a very big box ticked there.
Yeah, it's a big sense of achievement with that, I should think.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. When I think of what you were like at the start, the fact that you're doing that, I hats off to you.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. Let me just go back to something that you mentioned about feeling comfortable in the car with the person next to you. Mm-hmm. So was there anything that you feel that either I did or you did that made you feel that, I can get on with this person?
I definitely think because of my situation, the pressure of another person in the car does make it harder, because it's not just me in a big metal box. It's me and someone else in the big metal box. And with previous people, like I said, I tried twice before. I think almost the expectation of well, this is what you should be doing.
Right.
So let's have a go at that.
Yeah.
Was too much for me.
Right.
Whereas you definitely came in with an understanding of, no, we'll sit in a long lay-by, and if we don't make it out of the lay-by, we don't make it out of the lay-by. And we did on my first lesson. I didn't go above 20 miles an hour, I don't think, but we did make it out of the lay-by. Yeah. But it was very much, there was no, well, this is where I would be with another learner, so let's have a go at that, and if it goes wrong, it goes wrong. It was very much a, actually, this is where I am, this is where you are, let's start there, and if that goes well, then we'll progress from that, rather than going in with the expectation that I would even drive properly on that first lesson. I think you were very understanding that I might not really drive on that first lesson. And like I say, I did, sort of. but you were very understanding of what my brain needed. Particularly in those first few months where it was, get away from the microphone. where it was an even bigger challenge.
It's very much, as you say, you really, from my point of view, an instructor can't compare one person to another. No. The girl I've just come back from today lives at the top of Honiton Hill, that's Wilmington. On the second lesson, she drove home. You know, totally different. To you, there's no way you'd ever be doing that.
No.
But you know, she was capable of it, and she's getting on really well. But you know, I don't mention what she does to any of her friends.
No.
Or where she's at. You know, if they want to talk to each other about it, that's up to them. But I don't say that, well, so and so has got this far after lesson five or six.
Yeah,
we're all different.
Yeah.
As you very much know in the job you do.
Well, precisely. I think there's a lot of, I don't know, especially while I was learning, I was part of some online communities and forums of learner drivers. And I think lots of people feel like they feel the pressure of knowing other people that have passed, or particularly me being very late into it and being 28 by the time that I passed my test. There was a lot of, if I don't do it now, is it ever going to happen? But actually, we all learn at a different rate, and we all do it differently. And I definitely felt that kind of, it's okay, because I am making progress, even if it is at my own pace.
Well, I don't think anybody's ever too old to learn. I currently have a chap who is in his mid-50s. Who has started. Okay, wait for it. I also have a lady in her 70s.
Fantastic.
So it is taking time, but there is significant progress being made. The lady has yet to get on a dual carriageway, has yet to get into Exeter. It is going to take time, but you know, we do what we can, and there's no way I'm going to push her into something that's going to make her think, oh, I don't know, should I even be doing this? Although I do sometimes wonder, because the reason she's doing it, her husband had a heart attack, and he's also losing his eyesight, so he can't drive anymore.
Right.
And basically, she wants to be able to take him to the surgery in Honiton, which is about 400 or 500 meters from where they live, and to go up to Tesco's, and to go out for drives every now and then.
Yeah,
which is great, but I'm thinking also, oh golly, you're going to have to know how to turn off at the Exeter Racecourse on the A38, because you could go there on your driving test. You know, in some ways, I often wonder, would you be better off with a taxi? But she's determined to do it, so you know, and she doesn't mind how long it takes either.
No,
and you know, there'd be such a sense of achievement when she does pass.
Definitely,
as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, one other thing that came up there that you've just mentioned about the fact you're in these, we're on these, in these online groups. When I was talking to Georgia, the other person, I found out something that I didn't know or even think about at the time, was the amount of work and revision and research she did outside of lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think to myself now, why didn't I know that? Why didn't I ask her? What, you know, and she talked about that, the way, the best way she learns. Now, being in a school, you'll know a lot about, you know, different teaching and learning styles. But I never really talked about that with you, and I'm thinking to myself, perhaps I should have done. So one of the things I did mention, is there anything that you would feel that could have been done differently, better? And I've got a thick skin. I've also got the ability to edit this.
Pete, get off the screen. I think, especially with things like that, because I'm dyspraxic as well, it's that practicality and just doing it over and over again. So the best thing for me was that I got a car way before.
Oh yes, of course, yeah.
That I was able to. I know that not every, particularly, you know, when you come to 17-year-olds driving, probably aren't always able to snap up a car like I was.
Yeah.
But I got a car so much before I passed my test that I was able to go out and drive between lessons.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just practice makes perfect, basically, and doing it and making sure that I was doing it all the time. I spent a long time doing all sorts of my theory tests with books and practice apps and everything else. But for me, it was doing it. I could have sat in front of a screen and looked at something or read a book about it. There was no way. Talking to other people and then getting other people's experience really helped. And I think that's where like the online communities were really helpful, just seeing and hearing about other people's things. But no, just being able to be in the car.
So if we're going to be posh about it, you're more of a kinesthetic.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Particularly when it comes to something like that. It was just time in the car. So in terms of everything that you did and we did, I don't think there was anything that could have been done differently.
Yeah.
It was just as much time driving as possible.
Yeah.
And you did give me that. There was never any like, oh, I'll take over, or this is, you know, it was only in the first few months where that was ever a thing. And that was only because I didn't want to go down the dual carriageway on the way home. So.
And part of it probably was that, I didn't want to press you into doing that. And probably the fact that I'm hungry. I want to go home for my tea.
Yes.
Because we usually finished round about, what, half five? 26,
yeah,
something like
I was
that.
Always your last lesson, wasn't I?
Yeah. And I was, doing it after school, did that, you know, I suppose it's quite tiring, really, to begin with as well.
Yeah, it was always quite a long day, and there were certainly days that I felt that more. So I suppose, in reality, if there was a possibility of changing that around, that might have helped me more. Because there were definitely times where I would leave work and be like, I am not ready to drive for two hours. Yeah. But I had to. And I think it probably showed a little bit in my driving on those days. But there's only so much you can do. And you were really accommodating in terms of fitting me in at the end of the day anyway. So it worked fine. It worked perfectly for me.
Yeah. So our friend has turned up again. So for anybody who's heard Abby say, get off the screen, she's not talking to me. She has been talking to her cat.
Yeah, I think it's nearly dinner time because he keeps trying to eat the microphone as well. So.
Well, I'll take the hint at that point. Because I think we've covered everything that I wanted to. I'm ever so grateful for you doing this.
Not at all.
I felt a sense of achievement when you passed your test, because I felt so pleased for you from where you'd started from. So it's fantastic that you're into it. And even more so what you're able to do now. In fact, you've got the confidence to go out on your own and to far-flung places as well.
Even when I did eventually pass my test second time around, I would never have dreamed that I'd be driving somewhere like Cardiff this, this soon.
Yeah.
And get off my laptop. It was, yeah, it was amazing. And after having spent a year in the car with you, yeah, just thank you, really.
Well, thank you. So, no, I don't think there was any time when I ever thought, oh God, I've got Abby now. It was all, you know, we had a good laugh as well.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. Well, thank you ever so much for doing that. I shall add this on to George's, and it'll be going online very soon. So I'll let you know when it's available if you want to listen to yourself.
Fabulous. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that, but we'll see.
Well, you can compare what you've said to Georgia, the other girl, as yes. well. Because yeah, there are some similarities, even though she came from a very different position where she'd been doing a lot of lessons in Kent and basically just wanted to get to know the roads.
Yeah.
Down here. Yeah. Right. That's absolutely tremendous. And I'll just finish us off there so that your cat can you can go fed up. You don't have to keep wrestling with it. So thanks ever so much, Abby, for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin.